Hi there. Welcome to the From Lab to Launch podcast by Qualio, where we share inspiring stories from the people on the front lines of life sciences. Tune in and leave inspired to bring your life-saving products to the world.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for joining the show today. I'm Kelly from Qualio, and I'm your host here at From Lab to Launch. If you haven't yet, please subscribe and give us a review on Apple or Spotify. We'd love that, and you'll help new listeners discover the show. If you want to be on From Lab to Launch, please see the application linked in the show notes. We've had a lot of people reach out to us. We're over about 50 interviews now with these innovators in life sciences, and it's been a lot of fun. We really enjoy connecting with you guys. Joining us today, we have Justin Cromer and Scott Miskell, co-founding and managing partners of WebTech Interactive. WebTech Interactive is a full-service marketing agency that works with enterprise clients. They specialize in digital strategy for companies in the healthcare and wellness space. Justin's background is in marketing online businesses and technical sciences. He's consulted with over 300 businesses worldwide and worked in-house for companies like CHG Healthcare Services and Skullcandy. Scott is an entrepreneurial Kiwi with 20 years of experience in organic search marketing. Beyond partnering with healthcare companies, Scott's interest in the life sciences extends into biohacking and life extension. Let's bring them in. Hi, Justin and Scott. Welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us today.
Hey, Kelly. Thank you very much for having us. Yeah, thanks.
So tell us the story behind WebTech Interactive and how you came to specialize in healthcare marketing.
Okay, so it's funny because I actually was working for a big healthcare staffing company called CHG Healthcare. When I was there, I was managing seven different brands and doing all their SEO and PPC. And through that, I had, you know, some pretty big budgets that I was able to work with, and I would bring in, you know, different partners to help us with fulfillment on the SEO strategies. I worked with agencies from New York and Chicago to outsourcing to India and everywhere in between. And I met Scott online, actually. And he just stood out head and shoulders above everybody else I worked with. So Scott's really a genius when it comes to SEO. And we just really clicked personally and had a really good, you know, kind of professional and personal relationship right from the beginning. So he and I, our initial relationship started through working first at company CHG Healthcare, helping seven different brands grow to, you know, attract doctors and connect them with hospitals for about 150 different specialties. Right. And yeah, that's where we met. And then it's funny because we actually formed a partnership and filed taxes together for like 3 years before we actually ever met in person.
It's the way of the world today, isn't it? With all this remote work stuff. I worked here at Telio for quite a while before I ever met my executive team face to face. So it is different. Complicated and nuanced topics like healthcare and life sciences can be challenging to communicate to an audience. Do you have some examples you could share with us on how you've addressed those kinds of challenges?
Well, let's see. I would say that one thing that generally we find in the healthcare space is that people initially start by looking at their symptom or the problem that they've got, and then they work their way through an educational process where they start then looking for the actual treatment names and eventually the doctor that they're looking for or the solution that they're looking for, whether it's a piece of med tech or if it's an actual treatment or facility that they're looking for, helping them to find the solution to that problem. It always starts with the symptom and then they work their way through. So, you know, in order to really understand, if you're trying to sell a product, you really need to understand your audience from the very beginning. Like, who is the ideal person that you're trying to attract? And a lot of times that audience could be multiple personas. Sometimes you're attracting in B2B audience as well as a B2C. It kind of depends on who you're trying to attract in terms of how you shape the messaging. We have some clients, for example, that attract in some of it they're trying to sell directly to the hospitals as a solution where they're going to, you know, roll out as their official protocol. And the same product, they also then try to rebrand it in a different way and sell to a consumer market. So depending on who you're selling to, you have to have different messaging to kind of address different problems. And the other thing too is when you're dealing with copy on web, for example, you even within the same audience, you're going to have different types of people. You know, we call them personas, and sometimes people are going to be wanting to know a lot of detail, and so you have to include that information. But on the web, you really need to make it in a way where it's really digestible quickly, using things like headings and bullet points and things like that that allow for the person who's more of a skimmer to find information that they're looking for.
And definitely keeping all of those things within the boundaries of label claims and all that good stuff.
There's all sorts of, like, this is a really highly regulated space. Of course, we have some, for example, cannabis is a super regulated industry that we work with in the health and wellness space, where we have to be super careful about all the laws and all the claims. And you can't call it a dispensary, you have to call it a pharmacy. And there's just all kinds of nuances around regulation. So we have to be super aware of.
Definitely. That's a lot to keep track of.
Yeah.
How can life sciences and healthcare companies working to build these life-saving products stand out with their marketing?
Let's see. Scott, do you want to take this one? I don't want to put you on the spot, but is this something that you want to address?
Well, you know, the consumer and the audience is different in a lot of these spaces, you know, whether it be biotech, healthcare, life sciences in general, from a supplement company to, you know, medical devices to telemedicine. I mean, they're all very different and they all need their own unique strategy to get visibility for the audience and their consumer. So it's really on a case-by-case basis. You know, what we would do for, say, a medical device company would be completely different to what we'd do for, say, telemedicine or supplements or something like that. So really, it would be a case-by-case basis on what that client really needs. And, you know, testing marketing strategies also is very important, you know. A client may come in with a very focused way of how they want to present their business, and it may just not work, and they are not, you know, they're resistant to change and going down a different path. You have to A-B test everything, especially in organic search. I mean, in that kind of situation, you have to be flexible on what you're putting out there from a marketing perspective.
I would say that the way that we really approach this, you know, I think it's really important that we kind of take a step back and say, what are the goals from the very beginning? That's what we really address from as the very step one is, what are the goals? And usually that's going to be leads or sales or combination of both. When I mean sales, I mean like online e-commerce sales, revenue generation through the website. So when we establish the goals right at the front, then we can then identify the ideal client or that, you know, the audience, like I mentioned before. Once you understand who the audience is and the personas within that audience, then you can get into keyword research. And once you start understanding, you know, what types of keywords people are looking for, and we look at, I'll just tell you really fast, we look at four different factors. We look at the estimated search volume. Google will give you this information, you get it from different keyword tools too. But we'll understand what is the estimated search volume of the phrase, how competitive is it, meaning number of index pages in Google, where the client is currently ranking, meaning like how close are they right now to being within a traffic driving position. And then there's a fourth factor we look at called consumer intent, which is really, it's not really a metric, but more of a feel of like how likely are they to actually want to, you know, convert or turn into a client for you. So we really do approach it from a top down of like, what are the goals? And then walking through the entire strategy based on the keywords. And then like Scott said, even if we think that we know what the keyword is, it really helps to test it. Like, let's say we're doing an organic strategy. It does help to run some paid strategy around it. Running some paid search will allow you to test the different keyword phrases, test the different landing pages and the messaging, the ad copy and the offers. There's all those types of things that allows us to test if we're flexible. And really, we get surprised sometimes by the types of phrases that actually end up being the money phrase, the phrase that actually really end up attracting in the high dollar clients or the ideal clients that these clients are looking for.
Gotcha. How has the marketing landscape for healthcare clients changed in the last few years? And what are current marketing trends you're now seeing in the healthcare space?
Well, I'll take this and I'll let Scott take it too. I don't want to be overspeaking here too much, but yeah, it's changed so much. I mean, COVID has drastically changed the way, like, I mean, not just the medical industry, of course. I mean, everything changed with COVID in terms of how people just approach remote work and how they approach remote healthcare and how they are searching online for things in ways that they weren't prior to the pandemic. So I would say for sure that has changed a ton just in terms of how people are trying to find the solutions to the healthcare, you know, that they're challenged with. Scott, do you want to add anything to that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, surviving the pandemic, I mean, you know, holding on to existing customers while still building brand value and trying to connect with new customers. I mean, it was a very crazy. I mean, 2020 was crazy. From a marketing perspective, you know, online searches went up like, I think 60% from 2019 to 2020, just on people, you know, looking for, I mean, we're all locked down in a pandemic and like, what, you know, it was just crazy. But, you know, for us, I mean, business wise, it was both bad and good. We made new relationships. that were of value. I think a lot of companies panicked right at the beginning of COVID. We worked with companies that let the whole marketing departments go. It wasn't great for some people who got furloughed and stuff like that. But I think stay-at-home orders, deliveries, internet sales really soared during the pandemic. And it was, it taught everyone new ways to survive. And especially in life science, more people took supplements like vitamin D and zinc and vitamin C during that period than ever before in history. It's like it was the most in-demand product on Amazon. I think it was ridiculous. So the pandemic reached new highs for everything. It kind of set new limits. And yeah, I'm glad we all survived.
I would say there were some other things too that I think were kind of unique to that period of time too, is that a lot of times when we're doing link building and creating content, which we place on third-party websites, so just really quickly, there's a big element of SEO that's called link building or off-page SEO, which is really gaining popularity votes in Google's eyes from quality neighborhoods. Let's just put it that way, really simply. But it's something that has to be done. And we actually had a lot of healthcare related websites that wouldn't accept any content that wasn't related to COVID. And that was the demand of COVID content was just so high that we literally had to write all sorts of angles around COVID just over and over and over in terms of how to and if we wanted to have any chance of getting placed on healthcare type blogs and things like that. There's another thing too that's quite interesting that happened also in terms of just, Google's censorship and all kinds of things like that also started happening in terms of what content was being displayed. And that's not a topic that we probably need to go too deep into, but that was definitely also something that changed really uniquely, is when people would search for certain things related to, vaccine or things like that, there was censorship and there was different types of ways that Google was handling certain search queries that was kind of unprecedented as well.
That's interesting. Well, and I was just thinking too, now, are you guys primarily focused here in the US or are you focusing around the world?
Yeah, we have global clients for sure. But for the absolute most part, we're in the US. We do have clients. We have some therapists in the UK. We have some international clients, more in the B2B space that we're in. That's necessarily as much in healthcare, although we do have a lot of we do have one company who's a global healthcare staffing company. So we do have a good mix, I would say. But overall, we have a wide scope of clients here in the US.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Because, I know from past life experience, that certain things can't be marketed directly to consumers in certain areas of the world. Right. And so you start getting into some of that. And I just was thinking about talking about the links and all that kind of stuff and the shift, thanks to COVID, for all of us to, Google search everything. Right. It just had me, I was curious about what was the impact of that sort of behavior in some of these countries where, as a pharmaceutical company, for example, I'm not allowed to market directly to a customer. How does that all play into it?
Yeah, every industry is a little different, and I'm sure Scott can add more to this, but I would say, for example, going back to the cannabis space, that's another area that we have to only use certain strategies. We cannot do any pay-per-click advertising. Google has types of categories you can include, cannabis, CBD, a bunch of different supplement kind of ingredients and things like that you can't go after. So if that's your industry, you have to find an organic strategy that will actually allow you to find a relevance or for people to find you in Google for the types of search phrases that you're not actually allowed to target, right? So you have to come up with these ways, and keeping it above board, doing it in a legit way where you're creating valuable content on certain topics, but you actually can't really put those the word cannabis on your web. You can put cannabis, but you can't put dispensary. But you want it, because most people will actually look, when you look at the search volume in the cannabis space, people don't call it the cannabis pharmacy. They call it a dispensary. The numbers very clearly show that that's the phrase that you would want to be relevant to, but you can't include that word on your website. So you have to come up with these alternative strategies of how to get relevancy without actually implicating yourself at all.
Interesting. Well, so what predictions do you have for the future of life science and healthcare marketing?
I'll let Scott take that one.
The B2B versus B2C, they're both very different markets, very distinct audiences, and they both differ in scale, cost, communication, marketing, sales, and logistics. So, you kind of have to treat both of them very differently. I think there's some really interesting things that are happening in the B2C with, you know, especially with like social media, what's happening on Instagram and TikTok. You know, a lot of brands are trying out those spaces. And I think, you know, bypassing, you know, Google and the reliance on Google and Facebook to get sales. So I think that's very interesting, you know, the things that are coming out of there. Again, just organic is the easiest way. And inbound marketing, you know, producing high quality content around what you're selling is always, I think, the best strategy and the best strategy to start with. And that's why, I mean, there's still so much value in organic search marketing. And I would say, you know, just focusing on the benefits of what the product that you're selling to the consumer, I think that, and developing trust. I would say that's also a pretty big factor now. And I think also, again, COVID has kind of put a real magnifying glass on that. You know, conveying trust with your consumer is, I think, one of the biggest things going
through. And I would maybe add to that too, in terms of, you know, some of the trends. I feel like I've noticed a lot of emphasis on like mental health and, you know, companies, for example, even offering mental health days. They're becoming more, you know, benefits around like the telemedicine side of things through companies and just people being aware more of just wellness in general. I think the pandemic has really brought that to light as well. And I think that's just continuing to shape the future things. I think that, you know, one thing that Scott mentioned, TikTok, for example, is actually now the number one traffic website on the internet, and that recently surpassed Google, and Google's haven't held that down for a long time, over 10 years as the number one website. And now TikTok has surpassed them in overall visitation. So that's a really clear trend that people are going to TikTok for reasons why, you know, not just for entertainment value anymore. You know, it's a lot of times it's about learning something new or, you know, being inspired. And those are the kind of the types of content that you want to create for those types of channels. Is if it's not educating, inspiring, or entertaining, you really shouldn't post. That's a really good rule for you to kind of live by if you are going to start to venture into something like a TikTok or any of that, like what we call push marketing strategy. We, you know, we talk a lot about push marketing versus pull marketing. Push marketing is where you're actually pushing a message to an audience that you think is going to be interested in what you offer. You know, that's going to be things like email marketing, maybe pushing some social media or video ads or something along those lines where you're targeting an audience and trying to sell them something you think they're relevant to. Pull marketing, for example, is like search, where they're looking for what you offer and you're just attracting them to you or being found by them. So, you know, I really still feel like you want to use both of them, but if you had to kind of choose which one's going to be more relevant and more likely to purchase from you and really where I would focus my efforts, I always prefer a pull marketing strategy.
Yeah, it's interesting to think about TikTok as to me, that feels like a place to go to escape the real world, you know, go be entertained. But, you know, just having this conversation with my marketing team here yesterday, because we were talking about, you know, a Facebook ad campaign. And I was like, I don't want to see work while I'm on Facebook.
So, yeah, that's a push marketing strategy. And one thing that we really look at closely is what we call, what Google calls a channel report. And the channel report actually will break down all the different sources of traffic you get on your website, right? So whether it's social, email, paid search, organic search, referral traffic, direct traffic, all of these different channels will have their own, like the way that they engage with the website will be different. So when you look at social media as a channel, generally it's going to have really low engagement metrics and really low conversion metrics. The things that you're really looking for in terms of like real value of the traffic. I mean, yeah, you get a lot of impressions, like they see you a lot, then you may get a lot of traffic, but once they land on your website, classically what happens with social media traffic is it's going to have a really high bounce rate, meaning a single page visit, and they land on one page and bounce, or they're going to have a really, and or they're going to have really low time on site, low pages per session, meaning they only click on one or two pages before they leave. And the conversion rate's pretty atrocious with it usually. When you look at the site average for conversion, and conversion, just to clarify, is like if somebody does what you're wanting them to do, whether they call you, email you, contact form you, or buy something, those are conversions generally. The conversion metrics are nowhere near as good on social media if you compare it to something like, you know, SEO, for example, because SEO is people looking for what you offer. They land on your site, they're super interested, they come into the page that they're looking for, and you're not trying to sell them anything. They're actually looking for what you offer. So you're just educating them and hopefully, you know, kind of getting enough trust where they want to reach out to you. So yeah, I would say that the different channels definitely come with different, you know, kind of traffic, like qualities, I guess. So it's really good to be able to reach an audience that you know, wasn't really thinking about you. You can reach a lot of people that way. But understand the numbers are going to be really different as when you look at percentages of engagement and things like that, when you're attracting people to you.
Gotcha. Yeah, and keeping that in perspective, I suppose, is important. If you could go back and tell yourself something at the start of your career, what would that be, Justin?
I would say specialize. I mean, I think that we've gone kind of the full gamut of we're really, really specialized in SEO and then kind of grew naturally into, of course, content and development and again, naturally with pay-per-click because they all go really well together. But then we started having a lot of requests for all different types of digital marketing services. And we're good. I mean, we're savvy technical marketers, but we don't want to try to be everything to everybody. We know what we're extremely good at, and we actually partner with a lot of other agencies to do fulfillment with SEO. And I think that kind of going down the path of exploring kind of everything is something that it's just specializing in what I do really well, I think has been something that I've kind of learned to lean into. So that's one thing I would tell myself.
Nice. Scott, same question.
Yeah, I would say exactly the same thing. Double down on what you're good at. You know, when you start your career, you're kind of running around like a headless chicken for a couple of years. And, you know, you really need to get your stuff together and double down on what you're good at and just specialize. Specializing is probably the most important thing.
We even pick certain industries, you know, like we know we're good at certain industries. Like, for example, healthcare is our number one industry because we just know really well. We both have our own personal interests in it as well. That's another thing too. I would add to that if you're asking for two answers. But I would say also follow what really resonates with you, like what you really love and where your passions are, and build your work around that. You know, it's important that now for me and Scott both, we have our own very unique interests in the health and wellness space. I'm a sound practitioner and a musician, and I'm really obsessed with like meditation and mindfulness and yoga and all those kind of things. And so that for me is a very strong personal interest. So naturally, I love helping clients be found for that, and also patients who are looking for resources and looking for answers for, you know, PTSD, depression, all these different, you know, elements that are affecting the communities and just the world in general, helping people find solutions and create content around it, helping provide value for people who are looking for resources. To me, that's a personal passion. And it's really nice because then I can work with clients who are doing their work with that and I can help support them.
Definitely. Definitely. Yeah. It's so important to feel like you're making a difference.
Yeah.
Well, where can people go to learn more, follow along, and connect with you guys?
Yeah, so I would say probably the best place to start is our website, webtech.co, DEK.co. You can also find us on Instagram. You can find us on Facebook and LinkedIn and all the socials. But they're all linked in through the footer of webtech.co, and it's a really short address for you to remember. So I would say start there. You can always Google my or Scott's name, and we can provide some links for you as well. We have a lot of, you know, client testimonials and things like that, that I think would be helpful for people to kind of listen to what it's like to work with us for real clients. And we'd happy to jump on a call. And one thing that we do with our clients before we get started is we do a nice job of kind of doing a discovery, research, and background that even if we just give you that information, I think would be really valuable for you. So feel free to reach out to us. We're always supporting.
Excellent. Thank you so much for your time today, Justin, Scott. It's been a real pleasure chatting with you guys. And yeah, we'll look forward to seeing more from you in the marketing space.
Cool. Thanks,
Kelly. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of From Lab to Launch, brought to you by Qualio. If you like what you've heard, please subscribe and give the show a positive review. It really helps us out. For more information about Qualio, our guest today, or to be a guest on a future episode, please refer to the show notes. Until next time.